Merry Christmas, everyone. Is it all right if I talk about Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus. And thank you so much for coming out this morning. It's Christmas Day. It seems right that we should be here and worship Christmas Day, so thank you so much for coming out. God bless this day with you and your family. Emmanuel. Emmanuel is just one of nearly 200 names and titles and descriptions of Christ found in the Bible. Just one of 200 names that reflect the nature of Christ, His position, His work in earth and in us. Jesus is Emmanuel. It means God with us. But the Bible also calls Jesus the light of the world, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Bridegroom, the Advocate, the great high priest, the chief cornerstone, the true God. Jesus is called the firstborn over all creation, the head of the church, the Holy One, the Word of God, the Word of life, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is the I Am, the author and perfecter of our faith, the bread of life, the true vine, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God. On and on it goes. The one mediator between God and man, the way, the truth, and the life, the deliverer, the door, the rock. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's Judge. And the name Jesus means Savior, meaning He saves us from sin, death, and judgment. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. Jesus is given the highest names because He alone deserves the highest praise. And every name He lives up to. Sadly, we live in times when names and titles don't seem to be that important anymore. We seem to name things whatever we want these days, when we don't esteem names and titles like we once did, like doctor, expert, pastor, priest, governor, president, congressman, coach, cop. Even names close to home, like husband and wife, mother and father, son and daughter, are not as highly cherished as they once were. The world seems to be losing respect for great names and titles, their meaning. Everything that was once praiseworthy and held high is being deconstructed, redefined, or just held with less regard. It makes me think this: what will happen to the name of Jesus? What will happen to the name of Jesus? Take this fresco called Ecce Homo. It means behold the man. It was painted by a Spanish artist, Elias Garcia Martinez, in 1930. It's old. It's displayed in a church in Spain, but you can see it was flaking and it was badly in need of restoration. So 83-year-old Cecilia Jimenez decided she would try to restore it. She had no formal training in painting, but she felt bad for it, and before she could complete the work, it became a fresco fiasco. The church wanted it buried, put it in the basement, but before that, it went viral. Everybody knew about it, and it became a global laughingstock. Some people called it Behold the Monkey or Behold the Potato. It wasn't all bad. The church put it on display and people wanted to come and see it. It became a tourist attraction. They charge admission to see it even today. It's a good fundraiser. It's good for the local economy too. Well, there's another famous painting called Salvator Mundi, which means in Italian, Savior of the World. It depicts Christ holding an orb. It was auctioned off in 1958 for $120. And it was auctioned again in New Orleans in 2005. The piece was in poor shape. It had been inadequately restored several times, heavily overpainted. The wood frame had been infested with worms. So the dealers took the work to New York City to renowned art restorer Diane Modestini. And during her careful restoration, they all became convinced that the work was very old, from the 16th century, and painted by Leonardo da Vinci. The restored Salvator Mundi was auctioned again by Christie's in New York in 2017, and at auction for $450 million. It hasn't been seen since. Some say it's in Saudi Arabia. So I'm just so curious what kind of picture comes to mind when people think of Jesus. Do they see him as some flaky, deconstructed, some deformed, tired legend? Or has Jesus been properly restored in our minds and hearts as the world's greatest treasure? He is, you know, the Savior of the world. 700 years before Christ, the world was dark and gloomy. People were disappointed in their leaders. Leaders were disappointed in their people. The world was deconstructing. And that's when God sent out a birth announcement through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So thankfully, God names this child, the child that's given to us. These are throne names, royal names, amazing names describing this king, who he is, and how he will live up to these names. Let's look at them. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful carries with it the idea of miracle. Jesus is the Miracle Counselor. He gives more than good advice. He gives you new insight and new life with that insight. When Jesus was just a baby, Simeon said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, "This child will be able to read the hearts and thoughts of people." And when Jesus was just 12, people were amazed at his answers and his understanding. Jesus was known in his ministry for his powerful and gracious words, words full of authority. The people said about him, no one had ever heard him teach like this. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. Colossians 2 says, "In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Jesus is also Mighty God, El Gibor in Hebrew, El for Elohim, one of the names of God, Gibor for mighty. Whenever you see this phrase, El Gibor, this title in Hebrew, it always refers to God. So this child, Jesus, will be both human and divine. Jesus is the human child born, but he's the divine child that is given. And as a man, he's able to sympathize with our human condition. And as God, he's able to do all that God wills without fail. Suppose you went to a counselor and you were advised to make some big changes in your life. Lose weight, get on a budget, get out of debt, start a therapy program, start a treatment program. Well, that's good counsel, you're thinking, but where's the power to make those changes? Well, Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, but he's also the Mighty God. He's not just all about talk and advice. He is God with you to do and to accomplish his good will in your life. So as a child, Jesus had a birthday. As God, Jesus had no beginning and no end. And that leads us to the next name, Eternal Father. Now how amazing this name is for Christ. Jesus is a child in one sense, but he's also Father in another sense. Some translate this Father of eternity. Jesus is the timeless one and the originator of time. He is Father Time. As a Father, Jesus doesn't take the place of God the Father, but he becomes a Father to us. He takes the place of God with us. Not distant, but present. Not temporarily, here and there, not too busy, but always there for us and consistently good to us. John Oswalt said, many kings in this world claim to be Father. They want to be called Father to their people, even their captives. I remember in the 1970s in Cambodia when Pol Pot became that horrible dictator in Cambodia. He wanted to be called Papa. Well, he was a bad Papa. He separated families. He killed 25% of his people in the killing fields. Human rulers and fathers, well, they're temporal. They're flawed. Jesus is that divine father-like figure who brings God near to us, who came to bear our pain, not to inflict more pain on us. And Jesus, as the originator of eternity, as the eternal one, he offers the world a gift no one else can. It's called the gift of eternal life. And the gift of eternal life means living forever. It means living with a personal relationship with God as your heavenly and eternal Father. And Jesus is the only one who can offer us the gift of eternal life, and we receive it by believing in Him, by receiving Him as our Savior and Lord. I hope you have done that. Well, finally, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He's the one who can bring shalom to this world. And shalom means a whole variety of things when we talk about this peace. It means things like prosperity, tranquility, harmony, rest. It also means confidence and blessing. It means security, justice, and righteousness. When Jesus was born, the angels promised to the shepherds peace among people with whom he is pleased. Well, God's peace rests on those who are pleased, who receive the Prince of Peace. Thomas Merton said, man is not at peace with his fellow man because he's not at peace with himself. And he's not at peace with himself because he's not at peace with God. Jesus brings us that peace we need. We need right here in us. The peace we need with others and the peace we need with God. Jesus himself is our peace when we come to him. And wherever Jesus is welcomed, he breaks down those barriers and divisions and hostilities. Well, let me close with this question. What picture comes to your mind when you think of Jesus? Has Jesus been properly restored in your mind and heart as your greatest treasure? What will keep us from deconstructing Jesus, deforming him, dishonoring him, or just discarding him? I think it's by knowing these names, knowing the names of Jesus given to us in the Word of God, the unfailing, God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired Word. The Word paints the picture of who Jesus is. And when we align our picture of Jesus with the Word of God, we will come to worship Him as we should. He is the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Behold the God-man, Savior, and light of the world. Oh, come, let us adore him. I'm going to light my candle with the Christ candle. And as we sing Silent Night before we leave, let's share the light with one another. But let me pray first. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. The wonderful counsel he brings to our life. The power he brings to us. That taste, that sense of eternity that he shares with us through the gift of eternal life and the peace we can enjoy in our hearts and our minds. We thank you for Jesus. We pray you would raise him up in our minds, lift our hearts to worship him this day, this coming new year. Lord, may we lift him up. May Christ be supreme in our lives, in our minds, in our churches, in our nation, in our family, with our children especially, as they live in this world that redefines everything so precious. We thank you for Jesus. We pray that we would each receive him in a fresh way this morning. I pray your peace would rest upon these families and friends as they gather this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and I'll pass the light. Please share the light of Christ today.